Welcome back, everybody. This is Simon Ward of the High Performance Human Podcast, and I have another bonus podcast for you today with an amazing man, a guy who is currently in the middle of completing or trying to complete 10 Ironman events in 10 days. They're all indoors. There's no swimming facilities, so he has replaced swimming with rowing. Then he gets onto his indoor bike, rides an Ironman course on Zwift with some of his mates, and then he jumps onto his treadmill with his Zwift pod and he cracks out 26.2 miles, 10 days in a row, raising money for the NHS charity. This guy is called Joe Duckworth. His challenge is called the 10 in 10, and you'll hear a bit more about this in our call, but hey, that's enough from me. Let's crack on. We're listening to my guest tonight, Joe Duckworth. Hello, listeners. Well, this is a new podcast for me. It's live. It's a Thursday evening. It's 6:30. I'm on video on Zoom with Joe Duckworth. Now, if you haven't heard of Joe yet, he's an airport firefighter. You're going to correct me in a minute. He's at BAE Systems in Wharton in Lancashire. But that's not why I've got him on. He's doing this thing called the 10 in 10 challenge. 10 indoor Ironman distance completions in 10 days, and he's just finished day 7. So firstly, Joe, thanks very much for sparing some time. I guess you just want to feed your face right now, don't you?
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure. There's no problem at all. Yeah, I've had some tea. I've done a bit of recovery, ice bath. I finished about 5 o'clock, so what, an hour and a half ago. But yeah, it's a pleasure to be on. Yeah, it's been quite an experience up to now, these 7 days.
It does.
Enjoying it, though.
Yeah, well, Let's go right back to the beginning now, Joe. So there's been lots of people raising money. Colonel Tom, as we know him now. I mean, you've got a big target there to try and beat, haven't you? Several million.
Yeah. That's not going to happen, is it? I think he took everybody's donations over them couple of weeks, didn't he? And every credit to him. What an absolute legend, you know. He's been a legend for many, many years, hasn't he? So yeah, well deserved, and I thoroughly enjoyed watching his journey.
Yeah, I guess that as people get a bit weary of donating, you've got to do something a little bit different and a little bit more difficult than the last person. So is that where you got to 10 in 10 days then? Because everything else had been done.
Well, do you know, it's a bit of a stretch. I've done Ironman for 10 years now. I've done 20 in total. I've been to Kona a couple of times. I actually qualified 4 times, but I couldn't afford to go all 4. I've raced for Great Britain and all this. So if I was to say I'm going to do 1 Ironman indoors, my friends, they go, well, you do that anyway, so it's no big deal. You know, it is what it is. You do it. And I always said for years that I'd finish on the Decker, and that'd be me done with Ironman then, and just concerned a bit of coach and stuff and that. And this come around, we built a lot of race fitness up, obviously, and the COVID-19 stuff has stopped us all racing potentially all year. So, you know, being an airport firefighter and kind of a key worker anyway, I thought I'll put some race fitness to good use here. And I'll do my Decker indoors. And we got talked about it with my family and a few friends. And that's kind of what we're born, really. And it was very quick. I mean, we probably only spent a week, 10 days organising everything, and we were on it. So it came around really quickly. And I was all excited on day 1, and day 7, not so excited.
I guess you don't want to have too long to think about this, do you? Because you could go off the idea very quickly.
No, if I could have got time off work earlier, we would have brought it forward, but because we're key workers and we've been doing flights out to Wharton with ventilator parts on and key workers and staff going around the country, we couldn't afford to take people off shift. So I had to wait until the 1st of May. Otherwise, I would have started a little early, I think, but it's worked out quite well with a bank holiday weekend and that finishing on Sunday. So yeah, it should be all right.
So you haven't had to take time off then, or have you? Is this considered holiday part of your shift?
I've had to take 5 days off work to do it, to complete it. But I had a lovely phone call while I was on the bike today, actually, off my boss, Kieran Merriman, at work. And the company have given me a day special leave on Monday, because I should actually be back on shift on Monday morning at 7 o'clock. So I thought after day 10, 7 o'clock start, I wasn't really looking forward to that. But they've spoken to some higher powers at work, and they give me a day special leave, which is absolutely lovely and I'm really grateful for.
So did you say you were prepping for a race then? I didn't hear whether you were
I mean, I think like most people, you know, you make your plans, you base your winter training around it, you know. And I sort of had a couple of Ironmans in sight. So Ironman UK was my first one. If that got cancelled with COVID, I was looking at Portugal and then possibly Florida. So the Florida one could possibly still happen. I don't know. With a view to qualifying for Kona either. Well, trying to qualify, obviously. You can't say qualifying. It's a bit presumptuous, and I'll never do that. But, yeah, with a view to either qualifying for Kona either this year or next year, if possible. But I don't think anybody knows what's really going to happen. I mean, I've heard stories that they're potentially putting Kona back to February next year. So I'm sure you've heard the same. So we're kind of up in the air, aren't we?
We are. And I mean, look, we've just passed Italy now, so we could say we're top of the tree in the Europe, but who's going to want British people going to their country straight away?
And do you know what? Do you know what, mate? I think as well, it's the international travel, isn't it? I mean, yeah. We'll be able to go to the likes of Korn, we'll be able to go to the likes of America and that, and we even go to these places to race. We might be stuck at home. So, and I feel I've got a couple of friends who've already qualified for Korn this year, and obviously, and a couple of my first timers. And my heart goes out to them because they're still training because at the moment it's still on. So they're still putting themselves through the paces. They can't really go out on the bike too much because of the you know, the restrictions and such. So it's a real difficult thing for everybody. I just wish they'd make a decision and let us know. But I wouldn't know how they'd do that. I wouldn't want to be involved. I certainly want to make the decision. It must be difficult.
I've spoken to a few race directors. They've got so many things to try and balance about, you know. I mean, if Kona does go ahead, they've got the people on the island to think of. I've got some friends there, and they haven't had much coronavirus on there. There's been a few diagnosed cases. So if your island was clear of the virus, maybe you'd like to keep it that way. You wouldn't want people coming from all over the world potentially bringing it in, I suppose. But then it brings a lot of money in at that time of year. February is difficult in Kona because it's a busy time for tourist non-triathlon tourist things. There's a lot of the cruise ships go there, a lot of people go over from the mainland. So would there be hotels and places for people to stay if they were going to put a race on and at that time of the year? So it's just, there's so many things to balance up, and I agree. I wouldn't want to be on the management board trying to muddle my way through it at the moment. So anyway, let's...
And you know yourself on race week at Kona, I mean, the population swells by, what is it, 800,000, they say, or something. It's something massive, isn't it, from all over the world. So, yeah, huge.
Well, and it's not just the racing, though, Joe. It's how as a race organiser, how do you protect the volunteers? There's a lot of elderly volunteers that you've been there. You know what it's like when your registration. Yeah. Most of the people are veterans that are there, aren't they? The elderly elder members of the population. How do you create an atmosphere at the finish line whilst adhering to social distancing? Yeah, very Absolutely. Difficult to have lots of people when you have to stand two meters apart. How do you protect the people at the aid stations or even have an aid station? So, lots of other things to think about. But anyway, let's get back to your challenge, Joe.
Okay.
So you decided on this 10 iron distances in 10 days. Clearly, swimming's out of the question. So you've got yourself a rowing machine. My first question really about this is, did you have all the kit already or did you have to source that from somewhere?
No, I sourced the kit from a guy called Will Smith at Fitness First. One of my friends is sponsored by him. And we have one at work, actually. I did ask work if I could take that one. But obviously, the lads use it for training. It would have been a bit unfair to take that. I think they would have lent to me if need be. But thankfully, Will came up trumps. So that's the only thing I had to source. I've got my own treadmill, so I've been using that, which actually broke on day 3. So I managed to get another one in, thankfully. And I've got my own walk bike. So most of the kit I had, and I said it's all, I train it all the time, so I know exactly how it works and that. But the rowers had to replace the swim.
So I think you put something up on your challenge Facebook page about your pain cave, but for those people who haven't seen it, then just describe it. Is it a garage? Is it a basement? Is it a spare bedroom?
No, it's a converted garage. So we took the garage door off, put double doors on, so it opens up nice and airy. We've plastered all the walls and everything, insulated it and stuff. And then put all the nice memorabilia around. So it's a real nice training space, to be fair. I'm quite lucky. I've no strength conditioning stuff in there. I used to do that at the gym. Obviously, that's shut at the moment. So but from a bike and run point of view, it's superb, you know. It's a nice space.
And I take it you've got some industrial-sized fans in there because the weather's warmed up a little bit in the last few days as well, hasn't it?
Do you know what? You'd have laughed today, actually. It was actually like being on a proper race because I have got a couple of fans, not industrial-sized. The plan was to get air conditioning put in there from a friend, but obviously, again, the coronavirus stumped that because he can't go into people's houses at the moment, so that sort of stopped it. But I've had both double doors open, say my wife and my daughter have put me like a tub of water at the side of the table with flannels in. So I've literally been putting flannels down the back. I've worn a skin suit of all things because the cold, obviously you get that wet and then the cold air blows on it, it cools your core. So I've actually done it like a proper racer. I've been grabbing cold flannels, putting them on my head, down my top, down my back, and I've had to do it like that. It's been the warmest day up to now. So, yeah, that's been an interesting adjustment to today's training race.
Do your neighbours know what you're up to, Joe? And if so, when you've got the garage doors open, do they come and sort of stand 10 feet away and cheer you?
But you know what? I've had to... My next-door neighbours, Rick and Deb, are brilliant. We had to explain to them that we were doing this challenge and that I'd have music on occasionally, obviously, because I have a stereo in there and I like the music anyway. So what I do in the morning, I shut all the doors up because I don't want to disturb anybody early morning, because each ride starts at 8:15 and I'm on the rower from 7, so it starts earlier than that. But then kind of like come mid-ride, 3 hours into ride, start popping the doors open. So they hear the walk bike droning away. I turn the music down. But it's really when I get on the runner, and it's quite noisy. As you know, treadmills are noisy. So they've been brilliant. My friend, my next door neighbour's got a can of Stella Artois with my name on it. He keeps showing it me over the fence. So that's really warm, I think, on Sunday. So they're understanding and they're very supportive. They're great.
Very good. Well, I see also on Zwift that people can join you. Have you had many people joining you so far?
Yeah, that's to be honest with you, that's worked really well. We've got a lot of people interested in riding with us Sunday. Obviously, it's the last day, but we've had probably 20, 25 every day. And what the lads have been doing, they've done like a couple of hours. A lot of them are working for more, so they do a few hours work or an hour or two work, and they come back for the last hour. So they've had like a rotation of cyclists in our little peloton, if you will, which has worked really well, because when people have drifted off, we got down to 3 yesterday, which made it quite difficult. Could start doing some pulls on the front as well. But yeah, we've generally had between 20 and 25 starts and maybe 10 finishing, but it rotates throughout the day. And like I say, anybody who friends me on Zwift, they can come to the rides and join in, but start at 8:15, we can see exactly who's on then, and obviously it makes it a lot more organised. It's just like a big group ride, you know.
So you're on Zwift. Are you picking a different route to ride each day, or is it the same one?
No, we've picked 3 routes. We do the all flat, thankfully. We're not going to do the mega preps or anything silly like that. We're doing 8,000 foot of climbing. You know, so we do the London flat, we do the Volcano flat, and there's one called TikTok. So they're all coming in with the group. The group are doing it. We've got some real good lads on the bike who are dragging me along. And we're generally finishing in about 4 hours, 50 minutes every day, which is superb, you know. I mean, my best ever Ironman bike time was at the Lakes. I won the Lakes in 2017 and did like 4:53, I think I did. So I'm going round in like race-winning pace, if you will. But if I was to do it on my own, it would be slower. But of course, you get on the treadmill, then it's all about you. There's nobody can help you there. You've just got to, you know, churn it out.
I'm intrigued by this notion of the volcano flat, because anywhere I've ridden where there's been volcanoes, it's been anything but flat.
Yeah. There's not many flat places in Tenerife, Lanzarote, is there?
No. I mean, I suppose if you go along the Queen K, it's undulating, isn't it? That's about the best you get. But as soon as if you're heading out on the Queen K and you turn away from the sea, you're going uphill very quickly.
Yeah, and you've got 60-mile-an-hour crosswinds to keep you company.
Yes, indeed. Well, okay, so there's a couple of things I'd like you to talk me through. So let's talk me through your day. What time do you get up? If you start in the row at 7 o'clock, what time do you wake up?
The beauty of this is, because I'm at home, obviously, if it was 9, man, I'd be up at 3 o'clock having breakfast and all that, 4 o'clock. So I get up at 6, I have a nice bowl of porridge with like mixed nuts in, my normal fruits, banana. I make that with almond milk. We have a cup of coffee and some toast. On the rower for 7, so I start rowing at 7. Quick change at 8 o'clock, and then we're on the group ride. I'm trying to make it as realistic and as transparent as possible. So I have no doubters out there, thankfully, up to now, so that's lovely. But yeah, to try and make it as transparent as possible, straight onto the bike, set up Zwift, and then we're out on the bike at 8:15. What tends to happen, the lads are like, they've just got on the bike and they're all ready to go, and they get a bit excited early on. So I've had to type some messaging saying, ease off a bit, let my legs wake up, you know, I've just done an hour on the rower. And they've been really understanding. So we do that. And then it's literally, I've got to change a few things around the actual pain cave to make it right for Zwift on the treadmill. So I have a bit of probably 20 minutes there. I get changed, put a skin suit on, get more comfortable, pick the route I'm going to run, because it's all being live streamed on a company called ZMS. So I have to tell them which route I'm running, then they can get the cameras on it. And then I just run then. And the runs have been coming in. I'm sort of setting the treadmill up at like 12.2K, which brings me in about between 3:26, 3:27 every day. which I'm happy with that, because my Ironman runs generally 3.5, 3.10 on a flat course. So it's not comfortable, but it's doable. I'm quite stubborn because I'm running from a background point of view, and I don't want to really go over 3.30 if I can help it, but I think it's going to happen tomorrow, if I'm being honest.
Difficult, really. I mean, you're doing well just to keep running, really, because it's bound to start taking its toll somewhere. Have you got any aches and pains at all at the moment?
Well, it's funny. I've been talking with a friend of mine before I spoke to you, and it's me right. I had an operation on my left knee last year at Fulwood Hall, and I had a bit of cartilage removed, but it's healed up really well. And the left knee is absolutely perfect. The muscles themselves, the calves, everything is absolutely spot on. The legs feel okay. But my right knee, the last 2 days, have been quite sore. So I've been managing it. But funnily enough, after probably, it gets sore on the bike, which I was left the last 2 days. But after probably 5 miles of running, it eases right off. And I can run then. So it's just, whether it'll get worse, I have no idea. And the big issue is my physios, and that I can't get hands-on with them. Because obviously they're all social distancing, and that's been the biggest problem. So yeah.
Okay, so let me see. It's an hour on the run. It's an hour on the rower. Yeah. It's just under 5 hours on the bike, so that's 6 hours. You let's say 3.5 hours run, so that's 9.5 hours. Taking about 30 to 40 minutes of break. So just over 10.
Probably 30 minutes max. To be honest with you, yeah. So they've all been the same. They've all been the same right through.
So what time are you finishing each day? About 4:30?
I finish about 10 to 5 each day. Okay. Give or take, you know. So it's been going. I think day three was my worst day, and I did a 3:40 that day. I just could not get my legs moving. And that took me up past 5 o'clock. But that's been the only one. It seemed to settle down after that. It's a fantastic thing, your body, isn't it? It can adapt some weird and wonderful stimulus.
Absolutely. So you finish at 5 o'clock, then what's the first thing you do? Yeah.
Straight to an ice bath with a recovery shake. Literally, it works like a well-oiled machine now. So my wife's running the bath and getting the recovery shake ready. My girls are straight in, swapping the pain cave, running for the morning after with my wife. And I just sit in the bath for 15 minutes then. Straight out to the, have a shower, get myself cleaned off and everything. Catch on a bit of social media, what the girls have been doing. I've had some incredible shout-outs, some incredible athletes who are just complete heroes of mine. And so I've something that's happened today which has absolutely blown me away. So I do that, have some tea, and then generally just have a massage gun and that, and I've got a few bits and bobs on my legs. And just it's just about recovery for the day after then, bed at 9:30. So I'm very unexciting, really.
Are you sleeping well, or are you sort of tossing and turning a bit?
Yeah. Do you know what's been interesting? When did it start? Probably day two. Sweating in bed. I mean, like night sweats. Like you wouldn't. I've never seen anything like it. I've had to sleep on a towel. We've had to swap the duvet around. We've had to wash the duvet every day. And apparently, it's just because of the amount of work I'm doing. So I've been told. Now, last night, my knee kept me awake.
Ordinarily, we'd be checking you over for coronavirus, Joe. Of course, if you've got a temperature like that. That was one of my questions. Actually, is what's the biggest what are the biggest celebrity endorsements you've had so far?
Oh, mate, I tell you, where do I start with this? So let's start. I've had Chrissy Wellington. She says, what did she say, Anna? I've got my daughter at the side of me. She's done it all. Chrissy Wellington, Lucy Gossage sent me a message, a personal message, a video. Nikki Bartlett has been following it from the beginning, really. Nikki's been superb. I had Laura Siddle sent me a video message today. Joe Skipper's been in touch with me. Craig Alexander, Chrissy Wellington wrote, "Wowzers, 10 Ironman triathlons in 10 days, all for charity. Joe, I am in awe. Good luck. Thank you for raising money for the NHS. And then at 12 o'clock last night, while I was sorting what's left of my feet out, Craig Alexander, which is just like, Craig Alexander and Chrissy Wellington were like the people when I started triathlon, you know. Yeah. And then I sat down for tea tonight, and Anna's popped the laptop in front of me. There's a personal message off Lucy Charles Barkley.
Right.
A big video message. So that's like, just made me day. I'm just like, it does make you smile. It's nice to be recognised by the people that who are just like legends and are going to be winning corner and things like that, aren't they? So,
well, I've met most of those people, Joe, and I can tell you they are nice human beings, and they recognise other people that are doing good in the sport. So, you know, I think you're just seeing humanity as it is, really, there.
It's a beautiful sport, triathlon, isn't it? A beautiful sport full of beautiful people. Who, you know, it's just a great community, isn't it?
Well, you probably find that the only reason somebody like Jan Frodeno hasn't messaged you yet is he probably hasn't heard about your challenge yet. But who knows what'll happen in the next few days, eh?
I did a bit of a video thing this morning on Facebook. So if I get Jan Frodeno and Daniel Arif, that's me. I'm done. Retire after this. That my life's complete.
Well, let's see what we can do to help you in the next few days. Then
the more pros I can get little tweets off and messages off, the easier it will be. I don't see the next few days being too easy at all, but we'll see.
Okay, well, brilliant. So you said you'd got your wife and daughter. Do you want to bring them in on the call for a second, and let's say hello to them?
Yeah,
because
we
all know, as athletes, you can't do this without a team around you.
No, I was going to say, do you want the earphones in so you can speak to them?
They could probably, go on, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. This is Joanna.
Hi.
Hello, Joanna. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you're Mrs. Duckworth, that right?
I am, yes.
Yeah, so what's it like living with somebody who's doing this mad challenge?
It's hard work.
I bet it is, yeah. Yeah. People forget how hard it is for the supporters.
It is, and it's, I was saying today, it's almost gone a bit like Groundhog Day now. It's like, what we're doing now, what we're supposed to be doing now. And I'm trying to work as well, and, you know, children are trying to do school work as well. Yeah. So. But yeah, it's Joe all over this. This is what he does, so we're just used to it now.
Yeah, well, fantastic effort. It's all going to be worth it in the end. I mean, it's already been worth it. He's raised quite a bit of money already. He's on target to hit his target. So, you guys keep up the good work as well. So who've we got coming next? I can see somebody else trying to edge
into this. This is my daughter, Anna. I'll just put her on.
Hello.
Hi, Anna. You're in the sunlight a bit there. I can't see you very well. But so you're the social media queen, are you?
You could say that, yeah.
Yeah, well, is it taking all your time to keep up with all the goodwill messages your dad's getting?
Well, yeah, it's been busy, but I have nothing else to do, so, you know, keeping me occupied for a day, I guess. And
right,
you know, there's loads of people contacting me and, you know, sending me messages of support, and I think it's great, really. Like, it's amazing. Yeah. I don't mind doing it, so.
And is your dad inspiring you at all to get involved in triathlon, or are you already part of the triathlon scene?
I did one when I was like 8, 9 in St. Anne's. It rained the whole time and I was freezing. So from that day, I'd said I'd never do one again because it was awful. So it's as inspiring as it is. It's not my cup of tea, unfortunately.
Well, you could always do one indoors and then you're not going to get wet.
Well, don't put ideas into his head. If he hears something like that, I'll be making me do one before I know it.
Perfect. All right. Well, you keep up the good work as well. Can you put me back to Joe then?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Thanks. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah. Take care. Well done, guys.
There we go.
All right, Joe. So,
yes.
Yeah. What about natural breaks? When you're riding and you've got the group there and you need to get off for a comfort break, do you have to get everybody to stop then, or do they carry on?
Yeah, well, the beauty of the people who start in the group at the beginning, I can talk to them all. You have like on Zwift, if you organise a group ride and you're the leader, you have like a yellow beacon over you. So it's quite funny because I put a message on the group, it comes up on the TV and they can all see it. So I just ask them to ease off, run off to the loo, obviously my bike stops, and then they catch back up. The run, obviously, because nobody's running with me generally, I just jump off the treadmill, run to the toilet, my avatar stops, obviously the clock carries on ticking, and jump back on the running machine. But to be fair, I've had two absolute legends today. I've had Graham Rands from Trifit Coaching, who's a good friend and a firefighter, and my friend Anthony James. And he's run with me most days for the last 10K. And as silly as it sounds, I know they can't help you, they can't push you along, but just having them avatars with you, knowing that somebody else is going through the same thing, it's incredible what sort of like placebo effect it has on you. So that's been good.
So when you're rowing, you're on your own. What have you got for entertainment there? Or is that sort of period 7 till 8 o'clock, are you waking up and so you're just in your own mind then?
No, I have a Sonos system in my pain cave. So I just go on Spotify and just listen to some music. I'm a massive music fan. So I just put some music on very quietly and just the row. I've not been going daft on the row. You know, I'm just rowing at 2:30 pace, which gives me about 12K an hour. And I just row nice and steady. It's a nice little warm up, really. My heart rate's around about 1:4, 1:5. So it just sets me up nice. So nothing too loud early morning because obviously people are in bed and stuff at 7 o'clock. So yeah.
Okay, on the bike, I guess that with all the other people riding, it's difficult to watch Netflix or to listen to podcasts, is it? Because you've got to be keeping in touch with all of your riding mates.
I sort of have to, it sounds really daft, I have to boss the group of kids. Like, if they set off a bit fast, it's like, ease up, hang on. You know, two and a half watts a kilo, that's it, that's all I need. If you can do that, get to through in 5 hours, fantastic. Like I said, they get giddy, so I have to keep typing, but I can still listen to music, all right? You know, you don't have to watch anything, you're just listening, aren't you? And it just motivates me. I love my music, like I said.
Well, when you're riding indoors, I mean, you're sweating a lot. I find that, you know, particularly this time of year, as it's warmer, I start to get, you know, like that sort of rash you get just from sitting on sweaty shorts. Are you having any problems?
No, I've been quite good.
Getting sweaty and just being indoors all the time and chafing?
Oh, I'm fine. Upper body wise, I'm fine. Shorts wise, not an issue. I've got different shorts every day. Obviously, I've got the chamois cream in, lots of it. I've noticed the last 2 days, that's what it said. I've my walk bike set up as my road bike the best I can. And I've had to adjust it a little bit just to suit the rides. The rides going on, I've had to have my Joanna coming in, just moving the seat forward slightly, trying to get a bit comfy, you know, because I think get stuck in one position and it doesn't do me any good. Where I've got rashes at the bottom of my legs a little bit, just with dry skin. I think that's, like you said, with sweating and being indoors, no sunshine, no air moving. But I'm taking extra vitamin supplements and that to try and keep on top of things. So, yeah, but the bottom of my legs, I've got little rashes on, but nothing. More like a heat rash than anything else.
And what about things like wrists and shoulders? Because you don't get the opportunity as much to climb and stand up and change position, do you, when you're indoors?
No,
so do you find that you're getting pressure sores or pressure points on your palms of your hands at all, or on your elbows?
No, that's all been good, to be honest with you. I do a lot of indoor training anyway. I wouldn't say I'm Lionel Sanders indoor training mad, but I do a little bit, you know, and I quite enjoy being on the walk bike. And I think, same with treadmills, I just consider them to be like turbo trainers for runners' treadmills. If you're disciplined enough to do a good session on one, you can get a great benefit out of them. But like I said, the last couple of days, I had to adjust position just because my knee and my bum's getting a bit sore and whatnot. But generally, quite comfortable, to be honest with you. No real issues.
And what about mentally? You had any wobbles at all?
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, you're going to do it, aren't you? And I kind of like prepare myself for that. I'd have been absolutely... I'd be lying if I said I hadn't had any wobbles. I had a big wobble on day three. Sort of finished day three thinking, what have I done? You know, all these people are donating now. We got up to $3,000 and I'm like, can't not finish this thing. And I sat where I'm sat now saying, I'm not going to manage this. And then day four was a great day. It was incredible. I've had a wobble today, a massive wobble on the bike because I was struggling last 2 hours, like I say. And my first 10K of the run was just miserable. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to walk. And then I came around. So, but I think when you've done 20 Ironmans and you've done loads of wobbles, haven't you? You know, you've had doubt creeps in. I mean, doubt crept in on the biggest stage of all in 2016 at Kona, but we managed. And you've just got to adjust accordingly and accept that it won't be wobbling forever. If you do the right things, get your nutrition in, adjust your pace if you need to. The wobble will go. You've just got to manage the situation.
I did a podcast last week with a filmmaker, Sanjay Rawal, based in New York. This would be something that you could watch, actually, while you're running. It's on Netflix. Oh, no, it's on Amazon Prime. It's called 3100 Run and Become. So it's Sri Chinmoy. So it's that whole Buddhist thing. And it's a transcendental run. 3,100 miles, not from East Coast to West Coast of America, around a half-mile circuit in the middle of New York. Not a running track, just around a park, you know, normal sidewalks with people walking the dog, going to work, crossing the road, riding the bikes. And they've got 52 days to do it. So effectively, they've got to cover 60 miles a day running and round a half-mile loop. So 6,000 laps. And when you talk about how do people do that, basically, you can't even begin to contemplate counting off the laps because you just never feel like you're getting anywhere. So you have to get into a zone, sort of like, and he says it takes 4 or 5 days before you get into it, but then you're able to drop really deep into this zone where things happen without you realizing, and all of a sudden you've completed another 200 laps. So have you found yourself getting into sort of some zone out situations like that?
Yeah, especially on the run. I think any sort of transition from bike to run, no matter what the race, is always difficult initially. But then it's just, I'm quite good at turning off. Now, maybe it's because I'm not that intelligent, I don't know. But I'm very good at turning off. And I think my friends who know me, who know of me, do say that. And they say this isn't me saying this, they say I'm really, really mentally strong. And a bit exceptional in that respect. Now, this is them talking, not me, like I said. Now, I just what I've found is that the body has adapted this week. And it, like Joanna said, it is very much Groundhog Day, but I kind of get on the rower, doesn't faze me. I get on the bike, doesn't faze me apart from the knee the last couple of days. And it's become very much like, yeah, just don't look at it. What I do on the running machine, it counts laps. And I've discovered that 104 laps of a track is actually a marathon. So I cover that up with a towel, because watching that going 1, 2, and then I'm thinking, oh no. And I know Zwift is telling me I've run 1 mile, 2 mile, 3 miles, but I don't mind that. So that the first day when I looked at that, I thought that's going to kill me just looking at that all the time. So what I do now, I peg a towel on it so I can't look at it. So there's been little things like that, which, but I'm very good at just turning off. I get my music on, turn off. Get a constant pace, get comfy as I can, and just turn out the miles. And and I tend to be like outdoors when I race as well, long course. Just turn off, set my pace, keep an eye on my watch, keep an eye on my heart rate, keep my nutrition going in, stick to plan, you know. I think the biggest issue is being on your own mentally, you know. I tend not to get in races anyway when I'm racing Ironman anyway, because it's just a quick end to your day. If you run with somebody who's faster than you, they're just faster than you. Don't do it. Stick to your plan, stick to your game plan, and everything will go great. So there's nothing going on around you is the issue. It's just you and bang, 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 bang on the treadmill. And yeah, that can be quite soul-destroying at times. But yeah, it is what it is, isn't it?
Well, fair play, Joe. 70% of the way there now. They always say something like, you know, when you've got two or three reps to do out of a killer 20 or something, those that that last one is the worst one, but everybody can do that last couple, can't they? So I guess once you get on to day 9 and 10, you'll know that you're pretty much home and dry as long as you can keep the legs turning around.
Yeah, do you know what? I think if I get tomorrow out at Weir, I've no intention of not completing this now. You know, there's that old, I forget his name, you'll know him, the ultra runner. Run if you can, walk if you have to, crawl if you must, just never give up. And what I've done in my pain cave, the thing that hangs my TV on, I have to take it round to two positions for the bike and run. I put loads of little influential quotes, you know, like sayings, mantras and all this. And they're all over there. So, and that's what it'll be. If I have to walk the last marathon, I'll walk the last marathon. I'm not finishing it. But I think Saturday and Sunday will be two special days, because a lot of people are going to ride with us. I think a few more people are saying they're going to run with me, which will be lovely. So I'll get tomorrow done. And a bit of a celebration, really, if you can call it out on Saturday and Sunday. It's just been epic. I've enjoyed it in a silly sort of way up to now.
I'm just looking at a few quotes for you, Joe, that I saw the other day that came from the, if you see the best part of yourself, you'll see the best parts of everything around you.
Awesome.
Inner peace equals outer power. For peak performance, you need a relaxed body to have a slow heart and the ability to breathe deeply and powerfully. So that's that transcendental thing. If you can concentrate on relaxing, on keeping your heart rate down and just on the breathing, you can actually sink. That's how they sink into this sort of transcendental state. And that's when you get into what that Zen-like flow. So,
And I found that. I mean, you probably know better than most being a coach and everything, but the heart rate on the run has been really interesting to me, because so I set off, and like I said, I set the treadmill up 12.2, and I run a pace, and that's that. So obviously when I first go, there's a bit of a shock to the body. The heart rate goes up to like 135, 140. And then as I get into it, as the miles tick off, it comes down. And like by the end of it, we're talking like 125, just like pottering along, you know. And I look and think, how strange is that? It's obviously, I'm still doing the same amount of output, nothing's changed, and yet my heart rate's come down nicely. I'm relaxed, and it's just, maybe that's what you're talking about, I don't know, but the body just adapts to it, calms everything down, and away we go. And obviously I'm happy to see them figures. It means I'm not absolutely murdering myself every day on the run. Yes, the legs are getting aching, all the rest of it, but actually cardiovascularly, all things are good, you know. So yeah, it's lovely.
All right, Joe, well, I guess you're probably going to need to go and have a bit more food fairly soon and then prepare for bedtime.
Absolutely.
So there's 3 days left. If anyone wants to join you, how can they do that?
So for the ride, if you friend me on Zwift, Joe Duckworth Limitless, I'll obviously friend you back, and then we can invite you. We'll stick you on the invitation list, and my friend Chris Dunn is doing all the admin. He'll invite you. What we're going to do, obviously, Saturday and Sunday, the people who've been with us all week, we're going to give them priority to ride with us, and then we'll send the things out, the invites thereafter. From the run, it's a little bit different because I don't know where I'm running each day. I'm sort of exploring Zwift just to keep my spirits up. So basically, you just got to find me on Zwift again. So run with another runner, find Joe Duckworth, and you'll just basically turn up at the side of me and start running with me. And that's the key. If I could have more runners, that'd be lovely. You know, because I'm really in a world of hurt by then. You know, I just want to get it done. And like I said earlier, them little avatars are incredibly inspiring. If that's the right word, I don't know.
Does somebody running with you require them to have a treadmill hooked up to Zwift then as well?
Yeah, they have to have a treadmill and a foot pod.
So. Yeah, so I guess that's probably the limiter on that, is less people have treadmills set up for Zwift than do smart trainers, don't they?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, what about people who want to donate? How can they donate to your charitable cause?
So the charity, we're doing obviously NHS charity, we've got a Just Giving page set up, and it's Joe Duckworth's 10 in 10 Indoor Triathlon. So if anybody Googled that, put Joe Duckworth 10 in 10 in Google, it comes right to the top of the Google page and it takes you straight to it. We've also got a Facebook page, Joe Duckworth 10 in 10. You can go on there and all the information, all the tweets from the famous people, the videos, daily vlogs, all this. There's loads of information on there.
Perfect. Well, Joe, I'm in absolute awe. You know, I can sit on my indoor trainer for 3 or 4 hours. I find it difficult to run on a treadmill indoors. I can swim up and down a pool for ages, but to do that repeatedly for 10 days, man, that takes a fair amount of patience and courage. So fair play to you. I hope you get to your 10 grand and more, and I hope it keeps rolling up a bit like Colonel Tom did after he'd finished it. The total kept rolling up, didn't it? Once people heard about it. So congratulations on getting so far. Best wishes for the next 3 days, and thank you for joining us tonight. Let's see how many other celebrity triathletes we can get sending you some good wishes.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for your time as well.
Yeah, maybe what we'll do is we'll come back and do another little catch up with you when you're finished and find out how it all went.
That would be awesome. I'd love to do that.
Best wishes, Joe, and thanks for entertaining us this evening.
Absolute pleasure. Take care.
Thanks. Bye now.
Bye.
Right then, that's a wrap for this week. Thanks again for listening. As always, I appreciate that you have plenty of choice out there in podcast land, so it does mean an awful lot to me when you come back regularly. If you enjoyed the podcast, please could you hop onto iTunes or Podbean and leave a rating and a comment if you can. Apparently, it's really good for the ratings, although to be absolutely honest with you, I have no idea how they work these things out. If you like the way I roll and you find some synergy with my approach to life and sport, maybe be interested in joining my SWAT Inner Circle training group. If you are, please just email beth@thetriathloncoach.com for more details. You can also use that email address to ask for my special free gift, which I have for you, which are my top 25 tips on how to be a high performance human. Okay, that's all for this week. I'll be back next week with another great guest. So for now, enjoy the rest of your week.